Hi, today is December 8th, 2019. This is Mobius Podcast 310. I'm Todd Agassi-Ward, my good friend John Westfall. Not really much of a theme. A couple of googly things, a couple of apple-y things. John has a rant. Mini rant.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, so mini rant because it should have a happy ending, but okay. It was somewhat frustrating.
Okay. So we'll start the googly things. So my Pixel 3a, so I have a, you know, it's this year's model, but it's still the old one. Now that the 4 is out. So my 3a got a couple of updates that gives it features that were until now only available in Pixel 4. So number one, the Android camera app from Google itself got updated, and the two features it brings to my 3a is astrophotography, which which allows you to take pictures of the stars, not the moon. It turns out it tested the moon last night, but stars at least, as part of the night sight thing. So I tried it, posted it. As you know, some of my friends said you have dust on your camera lens. of course, wouldn't be that. You know, it'd be actually dark, so you wouldn't actually see the dust at night, I think. Unless you had a bright background. But at any rate, yeah, it's not that impressive. Maybe because I had too much light where I was standing in kind of my backyard. We don't have a lot of light here where I live. No tall street lamps. In fact, no street lamps particularly where I am. The lights from the home isn't too bright. There is no neighbor there is a neighbor across the way, across the stream, but there's a kind of like a forest wooded area, so there's no light coming from there. And still, it was still too much light, I think. The other feature it got, I'm trying to think what the other feature it got is. But the feature it didn't get, which is still only on the 4, is HDR Plus with dual exposure controls. When Google says it allows you to take pictures using HDR Plus in low light or backlit scenes. And, you know, the night sight mode in the previous Android camera app is good. In fact, I would say it's great. But apparently this makes it even greater. So that hit my 3A. And the other one that hit my 3A is really kind of interesting. So the Google Voice Recorder app, which was only on the 4 until now, is available now for the Pixels 2, 3, and 3A. So what makes it interesting, you know, because Apple has had a voice recorder app for ages and ages. This one can transcribe from speech to text, and you don't have to be online to do it. So that's pretty amazing. I did a quick test. I haven't done a long test. I should do it during a meeting and ask permission to record everybody and do full speech to text and see how close it is. I think that'd be kind of interesting. So there's that available, and I think that's it. And that is also available for the 2, 3, and 3A.
I just wouldn't recommend doing your speech to text for your official meeting minutes, or else you might end up in that situation like we witnessed a number of years ago at an MVP summit where they just turned on automated closed captioning, and all of a sudden it went from very, nondescript and innocent captions to quite lurid and perhaps obscene captioning. So
I remember that.
I wouldn't put those in your official meeting minutes, but might as well try it out.
You should edit it first.
Yeah, read it through. You know, I go to a number of meetings where the very first item on the agenda is approving the minutes from the previous meeting. And most of the time, nobody reads the minutes, and so that could be get you in trouble if no one's reading your minutes if you just pop it right in there.
Right.
You know. I really wonder if, you know, your deputy was talking about, you know, a strip club or something like that.
That Microsoft MVP Summit keynote. It was a keynote, as I recall, by somebody pretty high up in Microsoft, as I recall.
Yeah. not one of their finest moments.
No.
But hey, you know. Bill Gates crashed Windows 98. That was probably the best clip of all time. Yeah. So Microsoft has a high bar.
And I was there. I was in the audience in Vegas during that blue screen of death moment.
Classic moment.
Yep. Okay, next up is Apple. So Apple announced their 2019 Best Apps and Games of the Year. I actually bought one of them. I spent a whole, I think it was $2 or $3 for a Spectre camera. And, I've been kind of playing with it. It's kind of interesting. From a technical point of view, I should say, it's pretty impressive. From a photography point of view, the people who did the sample photos obviously know how to use the app a lot better than I do. Because I couldn't get some of those effects with water and so forth. But, you know, it's worth trying. I thought it was worth buying and trying. So I'll continue to fuss with it. Maybe I'll try to post something from it on our blog so people can see what it looks like. Did you see anything in the list that interested you?
You know, I looked through and there was something that really stood out at me. The Spectre camera app does look interesting. I might try that out. But there weren't anything. I did like their storytelling, the idea that this year was the year of finding new ways to tell stories. Right. But other than that, I did not see anything too useful or too revolutionary that I thought, I got to go download that and try it out.
Yeah. I was interested in Flow by Moleskine, or Moleskin, however you pronounce it. And it says it's a draw and sketch, and, you know, I like to doodle, and I like to take notes, or I have to take notes. So I thought, this might be kind of interesting. But, it does look interesting. I'll admit that much. But then I looked at the in-app purchases, and in-app purchase is kind of mandatory, in order to get all the features. And so what it works out to is for 1 month, I guess to try out the full feature set, it's $2. That's for 1 month now, not for the app. And for 12 months, it's $11.99, so basically $1 a month, which is not too expensive, but there are some awfully nice note-taking / drawing apps. By drawing, I mean sketching, like diagrams and so forth, not artistic drawing necessarily. But there are some really nice note-taking apps for the iPad that are, one-time purchases. In particular, let's see, which is one I've been using lately? I have been using Notability, which I think is about maybe $10 or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. One-time purchase. No, I don't think there's any add-on purchases or in-app purchases. So, and I think it does almost, if not everything, that that Flow by Moleskine does. I guess for whatever reason, Apple likes the way it looks or something, but... And it looks nice, Not sure it's worth paying forever and ever just to use it, though.
I agree. And the app that I've used for note-taking, Note Shelf, is, a one-time purchase. And I think it does all the same things. So I really think this is one of those just cash grabs because people know the brand name Moleskine or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so people go for it. But, yeah, it's kind of weird that there's a subscription for that. And there's a few other apps that I don't like that they're all, it has to be subscription-based for everything. I'd rather be able to do it one time. There's really only one that comes to mind that I think is worth it, and that's Drafts. I like Drafts as an app. And for a while, I didn't even go to the most recent version because I was sort of angered over the subscription. But, it is a useful app, and so I don't mind supporting it. But Moleskine, they're a big enough company. They don't need the subscription revenue.
Yeah, and I think maybe they're counting on, the Moleskine, and I've heard it both ways, so I really don't know which one's correct. But I will say Moleskine because it's easier than Moleskine. Moleskine has, what do I want to call them? Rabid fan base?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people who buy Moleskine tablets, which I think they're best known for, and are wonderful. I think I've bought one or two. They are, they swear by them, right? It's like in old days when people used to buy Franklin planners. People are really wedded to that particular brand of notepads. And for those folks, I think, they'll think, well, I spent years and years and years really enjoying my Moleskine paper tablets, so why not switch to app? And, more power to them.
It almost reminds me of, have you looked at bullet journaling?
I have heard of it. I have not tried it. I think you told me about it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it sort of is the same thing. If you really get into it,
right,
you'll pay a premium for it. Mm-hmm. But I don't have enough time to make an electronic or in-person journal that pretty as many people do with their bullet journal. Yeah. I often wonder if, you know, the whole point of bullet journal is that you don't forget things and you get things done. Right. I often wonder if there is a productivity decrease of the people who just like making their bullet journals look very, very pretty or ornate. Well, and perhaps they're not getting the things done that they were hoping for.
Well, at that point, it's more of a hobby, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's like you could make the argument that people who go golfing aren't getting things done for the hours they spend driving to and from a golf course and playing golf, but that's their hobby, so that's their time, I would say.
Yeah, you're right.
I think it's something akin to scrapbooking, except with words.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah. Okay, so Flow by Moleskine, interesting looking app, interesting enough to win App of the Year for whatever category, iPad App of the Year. So Spectre Camera was iPhone App of the Year. Moleskine is iPad App of the Year, so that's pretty high praise. The Mac App of the Year is Affinity Publisher. People might know them from Affinity Photo and Affinity Sketch or Draw, one of those things. They have a whole bunch of graphical programs that people really like. I have not really tried them. I don't think I've bought any of them. They're kind of expensive. I think they're like $20. Sort of like Microsoft. Looks like Microsoft Publisher for the Mac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks kind of interesting. I just don't.
We don't do that kind of stuff.
I ever need to do that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Same here. TV App of the Year, Explorers Network, App Trends. Like you said, Storytelling Simplified. Do you use any of those apps? I'm kind of looking at what they're recommending. Anchor, which is the podcasting app. Canva Stories and Video Maker, Unfold, a whole bunch I've never
heard of. I have used Canva.
Yeah?
Canva's pretty nice for quick little buttons and other things that you need to create visually, but I've played with Anchor.fm.
Yeah.
Otherwise, not too much in that group.
Yeah, and as for the games, you know, now that I can't play Civilization Revolution, the first edition anymore, and the sixth still, the Civilization Revolution 2 is terrible. Won't play it, even though I paid $10 for it. I bought Civilization 6, which I think I paid $15 for. But I don't know. I still haven't had a chance to learn it. I still miss the first version, which was simple, and I played it for years, and it was awesome. iPad Game of the Year, Hyper Light Drifter. I don't get it. I might try it. Yeah, I'll come back to this. Actually, the one I'm really interested in is called the Apple TV Game of the Year. Called Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap. But I don't have an Apple TV. I have one, but it's broken. It's the second gen, the first little one. So we'll never try this. Oh, well. Okay, getting back. Let's see. Stuff you've been adding to the...
Yeah, I have a few little things. Yeah. So Apple announced this week for that they're getting ready to roll out Apple Card monthly installments for iPhone purchases.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is interesting because even though there are many ways to finance for 0% your iPhone, mm-hmm. you know, carriers offer that, and Apple offers that, and all those things. The way the Apple Card does it is it actually just adds the monthly installment to your minimum payment for your bill. So it doesn't treat it as an advance. It doesn't take interest if you... are carrying a balance on your Apple Card. Mm-hmm. It doesn't factor interest into those payments. It's just another, you know, $30 or $40 a month on there, which I think is an interesting model to do it. And it makes me wonder if Apple rolls this out to other products, if even though typically, you know, I save up for my products and I could pay them all off at once, mm-hmm. if it wouldn't be, you know, my best interest, you know, keep the money in the bank, let it earn interest.
Right.
And just make the minimum payments each month on the Apple Card. So yeah. I'm hoping that Apple considers doing that because I could see that being a great way to
buy MacBook Pro.
You know, yeah, get my MacBook Pro and other things that I'm planning on doing over time.
Bigger ticket items.
Yeah, and I thought that was interesting. Yet another way to try to ease the pain of buying new smartphones, which I'm sure ever since we lost subsidies, Apple's realized, people don't need to update their MacBook or their iPhone every year or every other year.
Yeah.
How do we get people to keep buying these things?
Yeah. Yeah, it will be interesting to see if they do that for bigger ticket items like MacBooks, for example. Mm-hmm. Especially if they have the same – well, not the same, but – so is this one, you're literally paying it off, or are you on is it an upgrade plan like AT&T Next?
You're literally paying it off.
Okay. So AT&T Next works has both options, right? So you pay them an interest-free monthly payment for your new phone for 24 months. And at the end of the first year, you can choose to turn in your phone and exchange it for a new one. And the monthly payments are extended for another year. So basically you have another 2 years to pay it off. Or if you pay the monthly payments for 24 months, at the end of 24 months, you have paid off your phone and you own the phone. So you don't have to turn it in. Which is generally what I do, because I tend to use my older phones as kind of like a high-end iPod Touch, you know, with Wi-Fi only around the house. I find very useful to have. Yeah, that is kind of interesting. Okay, now on to your rant.
So my wife's Fitbit's screen died yesterday.
Oh.
So this is, I guess, a recurring thing. Your old Fitbit One, its screen died a few months ago.
Yeah. And now the button died.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, her button was working just fine. Yeah. The screen was dead.
We should exchange it.
yeah. So this was on a Fitbit Charge 3 that was less than a year old. So I thought, well, this should be covered under warranty.
Yeah.
And I contacted Fitbit tech support.
Right.
And I got, I did the online chat. And there really needs to be an express lane for people that know what they're doing with tech support. Because the very first thing I wrote to the chat or the tech rep was, here's the problem. Here's what I've tried. I've done all these things and followed these steps.
Right.
Here's the order information. Here's everything that you need to know to identify in your system, all that.
Right.
And my hope was that it would be, okay, you've tried everything. We're going to RMA it and get you an exchange.
Yes, that never works.
Unfortunately, I still had to go through 25 minutes of chat-based tech troubleshooting, all of the stuff that I had already done. And, it's one of those things where he's copying and pasting the scripts straight off of the webpage that's already on, saying, well, what happens when you do this? The screen doesn't come on.
Yeah.
Okay, well, do this. It should do that. What happens? The screen doesn't come on.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the screen doesn't come. How many times that's. So that was just my mini rant. Yes, eventually it did end up where my wife was able to fill out the RMA information and get a new one shipped to her. But, geez, there should really just be. If you come in and you describe it perfectly, you should be able to skip the script.
I hear you. I ran into the same thing with Dell a number of years ago. And this is probably 7-8 years ago, where I still have it. I had a Dell Inspiron something or other notebook, and I knew what the problem was. The AC charger's cable had a break in it at about 3 inches from the plug, the power plug that goes into the Inspiron. And I know that because if you bend it, it would work. And if you unbend it, it wouldn't work. So it's pretty obvious. And so I explained to the tech rep on the phone. This was in a chat. This was live on the phone that, what I did and how I knew where the break was and how I knew what the problem was. He said, oh, no, it could still be your system board. Why don't you have to send the whole thing in. I said, no, I'm telling you, it's not the system board. The PC works fine. I can still charge it. It's just that the charger's cable is flaky because there's a break 3 inches from the plug-in port. And they just wouldn't believe it. So I said, oh, forget it. This is not worth my time. So I went to Amazon and bought a third-party replacement charger, and that fixed it. it was like $20. I figured it was less hassle than dealing with Dell's tech support.
I mean, it used to be that if you said the right things at the beginning of the call,
right,
you got you had a person on the other end that knew what they were talking about. I remember calling for, I had notoriously flaky DSL service years ago when I first got DSL, and I was also living in a neighborhood where the copper wires were 100 years old, so just not really the best. So I would call to report an outage or an issue. And I had a pre-written script that I would say that was, hey, I'm having trouble connecting my DSL service. I've got about 6 computers over here. Half of them are running Windows. One of them's running Mac. One's running Linux. They all run through 3 different routers. All of those are – everything is down from, every point. Right. I, covered everything in 30 seconds.
Right.
And it would immediately push me to, okay, well, you've tried all that. Let's take a look. Oh, yeah, you have an outage in your area. We'll give you a credit for blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Versus the, unplug let's try everything.
Unplug your DSL modem. Plug it back in. Unplug your router so we can plug it directly in. Without a firewall, yes, we don't want any firewall attached on your PC.
No, of course not.
Yeah. And by the way, you have just created your own rapper name, Notoriously Flaky DSL. So.
Well, that's a good rapper name. I'll take Notoriously Flaky DSL.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then as I'm sitting here thinking about this, I realized that sitting on my desk, I was going through some old boxes yesterday and cleaning stuff out, and I found a Franklin European Pocket Translator.
I always wanted one of those.
From 1998 that still works perfectly. It's on its original battery. No dead pixels in the LCD.
Whoa. What do you mean it's on its original battery?
Yep, original battery.
What kind of battery's in there?
It's a button cell of some sort.
No kidding. Like a 2032, one of those kind of like a something smaller, maybe.
Doesn't say on the back what it replaces with, but it's a model TWE-106A, copyright 1996, Franklin Electronic Publishers, Inc.
That is impressive. They don't make stuff like they used to.
No, they really don't. This thing will probably be, and I have thrown this thing in 100 different places. It's been in the bottom of bags. It's been in hot storage units. It's been everywhere, and it works. I mean, by the basis of my wife's Fitbit, it's better than the screen on her Fitbit, you know, for 21-year-old screen.
You know, something interesting is I've got some other devices like an HP 95LX, if you remember that. So it was a pre-Windows CE device, ran MS-DOS. And I've got a couple older devices like that. And oddly enough, they're all HP. But anyway, they're about 30 years old now. And every now and then I was checking on them in storage and so forth. And their screens exploded, LCD screens exploded.
Wow.
A couple of them, yeah. As in cracked and, you know. And, you know, they weren't tossed around. And they're just sitting in a box, literally. Some of them in the original box. So, yeah. Because, you know, I never sell my stuff or throw them away. I should, but I don't. But I need to go look at my old, you know, handheld PCs and stuff and see how the screens are. I still got them.
It is interesting to me how technology, some technology really holds up and some does not.
Yeah. Speaking of technology that holds up or doesn't. So the other day, you may have seen my post on Facebook. I lamented that my first generation Amazon Echo, you know, the about. What is it, about 10, 11 inches tall cylinder, was apparently no longer understanding me. The blue light would come on, indicating that it heard me, and it was connected to the network okay. The network was fine, but it just wasn't answering. So I unplugged it a few times, and it still did the same thing. And so I thought, sigh, you know, I got to go buy another Echo. So anyway, I ordered an Amazon Echo Show, the 5-inch, the little one, that I can use as a clock. I don't know if John can see it. Let me see. Where's my little doodad here so I can see what I'm doing? Oh, here we go. So I got the 5-inch Echo. So about the size of a typical desk clock, except it's got a camera, which has a physical shutter you can turn off. And I thought, I'll use this to replace it because it's kind of nice having a clock you can see versus one you got to ask all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, my first gen decided to work again.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So I've got a functional Amazon Echo first gen and a brand new Apple Show. So we'll see. Maybe I'll give my first gen a rest.
A question about the Echo Show.
Sure.
So
not that I know much.
The Echo allows you to drop in on an Echo that you own. So if you're, you know, remotely, you can call your own Echo and it'll auto answer, et cetera. Does the video capable Echoes, do they allow you to do the same thing and get the video feed?
Yes, they do, which is why it has a physical shutter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My thought for that was I was talking with a friend a few days ago, and her mother-in-law was basically showing some symptoms of early onset dementia.
Okay.
And we were talking about how when, you know, your parents get older and you, you know, not quite sure if they're okay to live on their own and that sort of thing. And I thought, you know, Echo Shows, if you can do that drop-in feature,
that might
be a really decent option for, you know, the elderly who they still want to live on their own.
Right.
You don't, you know, necessarily think it's time for them to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you want to be able to, if all else fails, drop in and see what's going on in the room that the camera's in, or start talking, and, you know, especially if they misplaced a phone or something like that. So yeah, that might be one option for people who, you know, their parents are not quite ready to go into assisted living, but you want to have some peace of mind that you can at least see what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea and a good possibility. And as you can see, I'm holding it up for John to see. It's 5-inch screen, so it's, you know, a little bit smaller than my iPhone XS. It's not very big, you know. It's actually much smaller than the original Echo. I don't know what the speaker's like, and it's got a switch on the top for the camera. So if I flip it and you see the red little thing appear, that means that the shutter is in effect and the camera can't go on accidentally. But yeah, and I'll let you know what the sound is like after I test it. I can't figure out where to pull. Oh, I see. There are two. This is interesting. So there are two holes in the back of the Echo Show, and it's not obvious or labeled which one is the power.
Which one is which?
If you look closely, yeah. you can see a little plug on the left hole. So that's the one I plug it into. But they should label it. I mean, how hard is it to put a label on something? In any case, they're on sale now if your friend is interested. I think they're like $60 instead of $100 or something like that for the 5-inch model. There's also larger models. You know, if the his mom or mother-in-law has any visual impairments, might want to get the larger screen for her to see. But yeah, I'm going to give it. It's kind of hefty. I thought it'd be lighter, but you know, I guess a lot of electronics. There's a screen and a speaker in there and power supply. So looking forward to testing it out and giving my original Echo a little bit of a rest. And I'll let you know next time. I think that's about all we got. This is a short one, John. We didn't even hit 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. You know, every so often we're just at a loss for what to say.
Yeah, every so often we're super efficient. That's how I like to think about it. Mm-hmm. All right, let me see. Let me take a quick look at my iPhone to see if I downloaded anything interesting before I forget to tell you. Nope, nothing interesting. Nope, I'll give the Spectre camera a bit of a workout. I'll post something that I put up. It's not, you know, it's a very simple interface, but it's not as intuitive as I thought it would be on how to use it. There's only two settings, but you got to play with it, I guess. All right. That brings, what are we? Mobile Views Podcast 310. We will talk to you next time.